Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and if stress is too frequent a companion in your life, and you go, oh, I don't know what to do about it, I'm just so freaked out about the whole thing about stress. Well, we have a guest today, Pete Siegel, who's going to share with you some insights on how you can use your stress to fuel your success. In fact, that's the title of his book. Pete, welcome to the show.
Donna, thank you. It's great to be here with you.
I am sorry to hear, before we get into your book, about the fact that you have been right in the middle of all of these fires that have been going on in California. Our sympathy and our caring, it just goes right out to you. I was down there when they started up, and when we were coming up from that area, we knew 10 were going, and then by the time we ended up flying home, there were 23.
Well, it was just beyond words to describe it, and folks, if you hear me coughing, that's because the smoke is still swirling around in the air here, so it's indescribable. That's talk about stress. Unexpected disasters to which you had to respond heroically and were caught with your pants down, and because of the Santa Ana winds and the dry brush, they accelerated and expanded so fast that all you could do really was just pack your belongings and get out with your life, and then hope that to God that your house didn't burn to the ground, and then you came back and had something left to continue with, or some way that you could mobilize internal strength to rebuild. So it's been an ordeal, and it's quite an ordeal, and luckily nothing happened to me, but I mean, I know people whose lives have been impacted forever, and it's just, I'm telling you, it's like the Midwest floods or the tornadoes or the hurricanes in the Florida and Louisiana area. You can't describe it unless you actually experience it. You can't relate to it unless you go through it.
That is so true. Now, Pete, we're talking about stress today. Here you are in an environment which for so many thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people, this has impacted. And here you are. You have been one of the fortunate ones that was not totally burned out. Stress like this is at the extreme of the paradigm. It does happen. And all of us, at one time or another, if we're not affected, are going to know someone who is.
Right.
Your background is in dealing with this. Tell us how you evolve in becoming knowledgeable, because here you are right now in something that can be so overwhelming that you would lose all kinds of focus. I mean, you just are immobilized sometimes mentally when these things occur. You sort of move like a robot, or you freeze.
Well,
how did you get started into the stress subject itself? What motivated you to become quote-unquote the expert? And how have you handled what you've got? I know I'm dumping a lot of questions on you, but...
Well, those are great questions, though, because they're all relevant to what people are experiencing today. With life has become unpredictable, and things that people were secure about, i.e. their jobs, their incomes, their homes, their belongings, their health, all things are changing. I mean, if you look and the subliminal programming that you get from the media makes it only worse. Years ago in 2003, if you remember, there was the SARS scare, and everybody presumed that SARS would come to their country and that would kill them. Then it was the guy who was with the anthrax, if you remember.
Oh yeah.
And he was sending anthrax out to people, and everybody that saw white powder in their homes assumed it was, oh, I forgot, I tipped over my Tide laundry detergent. That's what that is. No, it could be anthrax. Then it became the mad cow disease. Everybody was convinced that it would find a way into their food chain, and that if they ate steak or hamburger, that they would die. Then it became the avian bird flu. And that was a big one, where this is an it's going to proliferate, it's going to destroy you. Now, it's this new mutant staph infection to which no medicines have been developed yet in order to be able to counteract. So where does it end, and where does your strength begin? That's a good way to start off here, Donna, because
okay.
I had to learn, when I moved out to Los Angeles at age 23, I had to learn sets of life skills and survival skills, excuse me, that I didn't have yet, that I didn't know yet because I never had to. And I had to learn how to be self-sufficient. And that takes, that the stress involved with that is indescribable, to learn how to create income and where you're going to live and what your vacation's going to, vocation will be, and how will you subsist and survive and continue and develop and advance and grow and expand, and figuring all that out by yourself, which is what I had to do. And as I kept going along, adversity kept strengthening its magnitude in my life, and I had to learn how to overcome and deal with a daily life challenge in order to continue to move ahead in life. And then when I began to study hypnotherapy back in late 78, I realized that was my calling in life, and then to continue on with that. And so everybody always has the need to continue on with something. You have to pay your rent this month, or your mortgage payment, or your car payment. You have to pay your Blue Cross or your Blue Shield. You have to pay your child's private school or college tuition. You have to pay the grocery bills. You have to pay the electric bill, the gas. I mean, there are responsibilities that you have to meet each month just to survive. That in and of itself has become much more difficult and much more problematic for people. Then, when you add to it the things as such as corporate downsizing, so people thousands at a time lose their jobs, or they outsource to foreign countries, or the housing market that has really just continued to spiral downward. And so, which causes people to biochemically react to stress, and then they do unhealthy things as well, Donna, such as overeating, overdrinking, oversmoking, overpartying, to find some way to deal with these stress and stressors that become ever more prevalent in life. And I had to learn for my own self how to be strong, not just strong, I had to learn how to be powerful, and then to teach people how they could be powerful as well, so that they didn't succumb to things that they had the capacity to do something about.
You have listed in your book, and I'm sorry to interrupt you here, mm-hmm. but you have 11 prudent conductors, and you have mentioned a few, just as we've been talking today. You know, the job, the boss, living conditions, just like what people have been going through in California.
Yep.
Income, like you mentioned. How about relatives? You know, our environment, relationships, our mentality, expectations and obligations that are projected upon us by other people. It's like, can you live up to our expectations? You just mentioned diet, insufficient activity. You mentioned media, depending upon and being let down by others.
Yep.
You have insufficient daily sleep and rest. And, man, I highlighted that because that's a big one for me.
Okay.
noise pollution, negative future outlooks, overcommitting, waiting on others to do or complete something you should be doing. And you've got procrastination, clutter, lack of self-worth, holding on to too many things.
It just makes you stressed out just even hearing these things, doesn't it, Donna?
So everybody's stressed. Okay. We know we've all got it here. And you've got this, and you say one statement that I highlighted because I said this is so important.
Yeah.
Don't make stress anything more than it is or what it's not. It's not terminal. It is not the end of the world. It is not the end of you. And I'll use my words. It is not, Armageddon. It just isn't. Wow, are we taught otherwise?
Exactly. Not only are we taught otherwise, but you have to understand something. Excuse me. The media, there's a handful of people at the top who determine what the rest of the world will see each day in the media.
Mm-hmm.
People are making decisions what news stories will be broadcast, what news stories or events or topics will find its way into the newspapers and magazines and internet news sites and such. People determine what you'll see and people determine what you'll hear. And because of that, you're exposed to a lot of negative desperation-related programming lately. With natural disasters, with the war, and all the other things we've been discussing. So if you think that's all there is in life, then you'll get sucked into that negativity, and your stress level will skyrocket. But when all the things that Donna just mentioned that appear in my book, Using Your Stress to Fuel Your Success, the foundation is there's a strength and a power and a capacity that you have within you, not only enabling you to deal with it, but to use that stress and pressure and the energy that it stimulates within you to move yourself into a position to either overcome the negative or to create positive situations around you within which you can thrive. Don't just let it decay you and pound on you and bring you down and cause you demise. Use it as a catalyst to generate actions to either overcome it or to produce some personal success for yourself. That's the best way that I found to deal with stress, which is why I wrote that book.
I want to give a quote, because I think if anyone has a pad of paper and pen who's listening to the show, write this down. I'm going to say it twice. I am mentally superior to stress and decidedly more creative and commanding than the strain. I don't have to take it anymore, and from now on, I just won't. Now, let me repeat that. This is a quote directly out of Pete Siegel's book. I am mentally superior to stress and decidedly more creative and commanding than the strain. I don't have to take it anymore, and from now on, I just won't. That kind of a affirmation, I'll use that description for what I've just read twice to my audience. Mm-hmm. That kind of an affirmation automatically brings a shift. There is a click that goes on in the brain because you're asserting a positioning of self-authority, also decisiveness about where you're going to put your mind, where you're going to put your thinking. Talk to us about how our mind processes information in our decision-making and what gets us into trouble and what gets us out of trouble.
Well, the biggest thing is allowance for someone other than you to do your thinking and not even knowing you're doing that. Every time you turn on the news, here, how many people do you think feel good after watching the nightly news broadcast?
I don't know. I'm busy doing something. I don't watch it that often.
Well, most people that I ask, I said, are you happy after you watch the nightly news broadcast? They go, no. I said, well, but you keep doing it every day. And then are you happy after reading the front section of your newspaper or the business section? No. Well, you keep doing that every day, your daily newspaper. You keep reading that every day. So why are you subjecting yourself to something that doesn't make you feel good? Why do people do that? Why do people allow what other people want you to think about and feel about and be aware about? Why do they let that happen to a degree to where they just like, oh, okay, look at these images. Look at these horrible situations. And then here, let's take it to another level, and then I'll give you an antidote that I think everybody will really enjoy. And then we take it to what we focus on. And when it comes to, Hollywood situations, they deal with the four geniuses, I call them, which is Lindsay Lohan, Britney Spears, Paris Hilton, and I forget who the other person is. Are there no other female role models we can turn to? Or women who have, you know, really redeemable qualities that we can look up to, that can be promoted to us? Or why do we have to continue to be those four be recycled to us? Who cares anymore anyway? Why are we subjected to what we're subjected to in the news media? And if you're feeling uncomfortable or frustrated or lack of fulfillment, then why aren't you doing your own thinking and creating life in your mind first, the way not only you think it can be, but the way you really want it to be? Listen, Donna, not intentionally directing your thinking has resulted in your current life experience, but you can begin thinking anew through a deliberate success intent and allow either a need to be get better, or desire to get better, a desire to have more, be more, and become more, to begin to move through you, and you can begin to produce entirely new and exciting life impact results. Stress is the demand that life places upon you. But so much, so fast, and so expansively, especially with the rising costs of health care, gas prices, and now electricity is going up, and then, you know, have, this country, because of, I just saw a thing the other day that pollinating honeybees are now dying mysteriously. There was a story on 60 Minutes and then on PBS as well. And so plant production is down because the plants aren't getting pollinated. Every time we turn our heads, another situation is emerging. Well, folks, are you going to let these emerging negatives that the media is feeding you define yourself and your world? Or are you going to look to your own inner strength and be resilient and resourceful and connect with a part of yourself, what I call the maximum you, that will enable you to take actions to create, produce, and become who and what not only you want to, but what you need to be? There's no reason why you should have to falter or even lose a step. There are things over which you can do nothing about. These fires out here we just had, they did all that they could, even though all the resources they brought, the water-dropping helicopters and the fire-retardant planes and the thousands of firemen who are the heroes out here, they still, incredible losses incurred, tens of thousands of acres. I mean, they said it burned an area so far collectively the size, bigger than the size of the state of Rhode Island. And what can you do about that? The floods that they have in the Midwest, what could they have done about Katrina? Well, the thing is, when life is striving in and moving in and encumbering you, you have to use that as an indication and catalyst to become mentally tough, emotionally strong, resilient, determined, feeling and knowing that you have a purpose and a mission in life to thrive, to live well, to expand it, to feel good, and nothing and no one and no situation will compromise that, because that's your commitment to you.
How can individuals cut those ties that bind them? They can be mental, spiritual, emotional, physical ties, where they feel like they are being pulled every which way. How can they touch within themselves? What kind of an exercise would you recommend for my audience to make them aware that they're in charge to respond appropriately to whatever the situation is, and they're capable of doing that? The maximum you that you have been describing, I believe, is in every single human being. But to be able to recognize it, what is an exercise that they can do?
That's a great question, Donna. And what came to mind was one of my quotes, another quote, which is, stop being nice and start being appropriate. And it means that, you know, you gave an example earlier, and the real metaphoric connection to that was, enough is enough. It's like if your neighbor's dog was driving you crazy every night, enough is enough. You would either talk to them, you would call up animal control, you would file some kind of complaint. If it got to be too stressful to you, enough is enough. People who live close to the airports, enough is enough with the jet noise, so they soundproof their homes. Enough is enough. When you get overweight to the degree where your health is an issue and your doctor says unless you lose weight, you'll probably die within a year, enough is enough. You're smoking, you're drinking, you're gambling, you're having promiscuous sex, you become a warrior, you become someone who's lost hope, someone who doesn't have the outlook and the brightness that they used to, well, then you have to stop being nice, especially when a million people are everybody within stress, and stress increases in life, Donna. Everyone becomes more needy, don't they? Everybody needs to have some kind of support, some kind of security that they're striving for. And so they'll ask you for assistance. It may be emotional. It may be conversation, consultation. It may be financial. It may be the request to use some resources because they're going through a certain situation. It's great to be nice. It's great to be accommodating. You know, love thy neighbor as thyself. Absolutely. But when yourself starts to become compromised because you say yes and you've been accommodating too much, that's when you have to say to yourself, enough is enough, and now I have to be appropriate. Because, here's the rationale on that, and I know you'll get this real quick. When you're on an airplane and the stewardess is as the plane is taking off, they give you the how to fasten your seatbelt kind of speech, mm-hmm. and then they say if there is a reduction in cabin pressure, the space above you will open up and an oxygen mask will drop down. And then they say, put it on yourself first and stabilize your breathing and then go on to attend to others around you. They don't say, try to be the hero of the universe at your own expense. They tell you, salvage yourself first and then you can be effective in terms of helping others. And the same concept applies here. Salvage your emotional self, your financial self. It's called appropriate selfishness. Doing and being the way you know you need to for you because no one else will. And if you keep giving people what they want, then you don't have enough. It's like the proverbial good soul, the good Samaritan who has a watering can, and he or she waters everybody else's tree. They don't have it. And then I say to them, who waters your tree? And there's not enough water left in the can right now for you to even water your own tree. If you're going to water other people's trees, folks, make sure you at least keep enough in the can to water your own tree, because the likelihood is people outside of you are not going to do that. And so you have to evaluate relationships. And a good way to do that is to use the metaphor of, do the scales balance? Am I giving more than I'm getting? Why do I keep giving and giving? Do I feel obligated? Is it consistent with my ideology or my religious background or just a commitment I made? Are these family members? Do I see people doing for themselves enough? Or are they learning to be comfortable depending on me to help them out? These are questions that each individual has to answer. But